Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We come at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers news. We got a special treat for you, pod regular, currently chilling on an island somewhere, former doctor, former nurse, storied historian, apiarist. It's five-time Tarchy, Carl Tart.
Hey, thank you for having me back, fellas.
Of course.
Always a pleasure. Today we're going to be kicking things off talking about the recent controversy surrounding Lou Williams' bubble leaving activities. It's been announced that after a NBA investigation, his quarantine will be a 10-day quarantine as opposed to the 4-day quarantine, which is the shortest one that most players are subject to. And then in our second segment, we're going to be talking a little bit of a recap about that Clips versus Wizards scrimmage. Whew, very much a scrimmage game.
Nail biter.
To be honest with you. Some good stuff in that one, though. So especially for the guys that should be getting runs. So we'll be talking about that. And then we'll be talking a little bit about the final scrimmage versus the Kings, as well as just updates on who's in the bubble, who's not, and whatever else we have to talk about. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
So, yeah, recently there was some hullabaloo because Jack Harlow doesn't know how to not post things. I blame Jack Harlow for all of this. Let's get that right off the bat. You guys agree or disagree?
The DJ at Magic City also kind of put Lou Will on blast. So, I don't
Should
know.
Should be no phones in a strip club.
No phones.
That's a good rule.
Should That's something no that I thought you got kicked out for that.
Yeah, you can't videotape the girls, but...
Well, you can take pictures of the bros. Yeah,
that kind of sucks.
Yeah, like Jack Harlow just like, just don't post the pic. And then he tried to say it was an old pic and he missed Lou Williams, which I
thought that was so funny.
The funniest excuse.
First of all, Lou Williams, Jack Harlow and Lou Williams didn't know each other before it was popping.
Like, so apparently there's some footage of Harlow at some old Lou Willvilles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's dope. I stand corrected.
He's from Louisville, similar to Lou Will.
I stand corrected.
Maybe that's where the connection came. But yeah, so I mean, Lou Will basically went to get some lunch.
As you do
at Magic City. And we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but so far the most annoying response to this, because the thing that sucks, this does overshadow the fact that he was leaving for a funeral.
Yes.
But the worst take about this whole thing is so far people, A, thinking... the response of like, oh man, just go online, bro. Like the people who actually thought he went there to like see women movies. Dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's not, he didn't go there for that. They named the wings after him on the menu.
Lou Will Lemon Pepper. That sounds great. Great flavor.
Yeah. That's a good name.
They also got Uncle Jeff's Honey Jerk, which sounds less good.
I don't know. Honey Jerk sounds bomb.
Uncle Jeff's Honey Jerk? I don't want. I'm not ordering that.
Uncle Jeff jerking with that honey.
Just
look, man. Hit him with the Honey Jerk, Uncle Jeff.
Y'all got to understand this. And listeners, you can quote me, okay? Make it into a very beautiful block quote. Type it up in a nice app that is a quote app. Magic City is more than a strip club. It's an experience.
Ooh.
Okay? The food is delicious. The fellowship with your homies put you in a good mood. And you have beautiful, talented, professional women dancing, not just for you, but for themselves. And they're getting paid for it. And you should tip them because they're talented. They can do things that the regular humans can't do. Go all the way up in the sky 20 feet, come down in the splits. You better throw her some money.
And you know who can appreciate feats of extreme activity? Professional NBA players.
Thank you so much. And also, if we're going to be a progressive nation, a progressive society, and we're not shaming sex work and things like that anymore, that's for the birds. We also can't shame sex patrons if they're being respectful, which you are. Lou Williams is always respectful.
He has to be. They named it after him on the menu.
Come on, man. Like, let him enjoy himself. He's an adult. Stop being childish.
Okay? Just went to a funeral.
He went to a funeral. He needed some quality time with his family and friends, and they go to the strip club to have a good time. You can't go to a strip club and have a bad time. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
And he was having a fun time. Let him go. Get over it. Stop hating.
I also think, like, to me, the risk of exposure is the exact same as if he had gone to Denny's.
Come on, man.
Like, to me,
the food would have been worse than if he would have gone to Denny's.
Yeah. I feel like everybody, when you go home, your family has that, or you or your friends or whatever, you have that restaurant, you have that place that you always go to. And post funeral, even in a pandemic, even if I, you know, maybe didn't want to go there or was maybe worried about some exposure, if my family's like, yo, we're going to go to the place post funeral, I'm not going to say no. I'm sorry. I'm only a man.
Nah, y'all, I can't go because I got a responsibility to the bubble, which he shouldn't be in the first place. The season should not have happened.
Okay, well.
I mean, valid.
Oh, we can't talk about that. Time. We can't say that.
We're in it right now. I mean, I'm
excited for it. I bought in, but I'm just saying.
I'm much more down with this bubble, I think, because I've been watching how the MLB bubble or not MLB bubble has been going. So I'm like, seems like, I don't know, if we were to do it, this has to be the best way.
I think our bubble's pretty tight.
Players can just bounce in the MLB. Is that what's going on?
There's just no. I don't know.
There's just no fans. There's
hella cases everywhere. So it seems like whatever they're doing is not going well. So from a team standpoint, Lou has the 14-day quarantine, which is not – or sorry, the 10-day quarantine.
10-day.
Which could have been 14, which is like – thankfully it's not that. So he misses the first two seeding games. So he misses the Lakers game. 10 games makes sense, right? 10 days makes sense, right?
Yeah, 10 days makes sense.
So from a certain perspective, I kind of feel like almost every quarantine, if you're leaving the bubble, should be 10 days. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I think that 10 days is fine. It's enough time to reasonably make sure that it's not, you know, that he's not bringing anything in.
Yeah, because Rashawn Holmes got 10 for Postmates crossing that line, which is the exact same thing. And that first game against the Lakers, I was kind of already assuming Bev wasn't going to be there.
Trez, I mean, most likely.
Yeah, which kind of hurts our chances in that. So I wasn't too worried about dropping that game. I'm hoping Bev will be back by the second game. But, I don't know. How big of a loss do you think this is in terms of a timeline for the Clippers?
I was chatting with a Clippers insider, and I will say this. He reassured me. He was very positive, Chuck Mockler, that we're going to have our full team in the playoffs. He's very positive about that. He's not necessarily worried about the seeding games per se. He's not necessarily concerned with those. I'm not either. There's no way that we're going to drop that low and we're not going to get to the one seed. So
yeah,
like that's just not realistic. So we stay in this 2-3 range or 3-4 range. Where are we at right now? We're 3 right now or 2?
We're 2.
Yeah, so we stay in this 2-3-4 range and we're good. Like, we're golden. I did not realize that the Houston Rockets were back at full strength.
Yes.
Does that mean that Russ's announcement was late?
Oh.
So there's like some controversy around that. Some people were saying that it was like a bunch of people had known he'd had COVID for a while. It was like the worst kept secret in the NBA, according to some sources. I had no idea. It was a surprise to me. So, I think that it's possible that it was announced a while after the initial prognosis came in.
Nice. Gotcha. Good doctor word. Do we think this affects team chemistry at all?
How?
I don't know. Maybe someone's pissed off that he left the bubble and has to miss the first two games.
I don't think so.
I mean, I agree. People online seem to think there's going to cause a rift. And I'm just like, I don't know. Everyone knows how much he likes the win. Like,
only fans are mad, it seems like, right now. Like,
that's
only
a very good call.
Only people on Twitter are mad right now.
Yeah. Doc doesn't seem to be fazed by it. I think the Clippers insider I talked to doesn't seem to be fazed by it. If he thinks that everybody's going to be back for when these games count, they're not really worried about these first 8 games, really.
Like, well, I mean, we knew that, right? Like, we knew we weren't going 8-0.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I think we can still pull a lot of them off. Like, I like after seeing these past two scrimmages, especially this last one, yeah, it was just the Wizards, and they're not that good. But it looked good. Like, it looked like Kawhi and PG are going to be themselves. I really like how Joe Kim is fitting into these lineups. Like, his passing is incredible. Like, I'm fine taking a couple L's. Yeah, as long as everybody back. If anything, I think would affect team chemistry, and I'm sure they know him. It's only because it's affected my chemistry a little bit. Is Trez's like
energy?
Fuck the bubble mentality, you know.
He's still. So we can talk about that in the third segment a little bit, but he's still seemingly like, he posted on his Instagram he was gonna like kind of see you soon, Orlando, but he's seemingly still just like at home hanging out based on his Instagram.
Yeah, he like was teaching a workshop. At a basketball camp, you know, I'm gonna get these young ones the game, even if they don't listen. It's like, Trez, I'm sure they're listening to you. You're in the NBA.
Yeah, you're Trez. Like,
stop.
It's like, different now, man.
He's gotta keep that mentality,
my guy.
Yeah, that's
true. He's gotta keep that mentality though. That's what keeps him going.
You rebound the ball.
He's doing the Wash King thing to himself every morning in the mirror.
Wash Trez. coming up after this quick segment, or this quick ad, we're going to be talking about the Clips versus Wizards a little bit. But first, Will, where can I get some auto parts?
The only place to go to get auto parts is rockauto.com.
Yes.
You got to go there. They're a family business. They're super credible. They've been serving auto parts customers online for nearly 20 years. And it's a one-stop shop for auto and body parts. They've got everything you need from tail lamps, motor oil, engine control modules, even new carpet. The catalog is super unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Go to rockauto.com to quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. That's rockauto.com to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check out rockauto.com.
All right. Now that we've all bought engine control modules, let's talk this Clippers versus Wizards scrimmage. Kind of a coming out. I mean, I think the biggest story from this, Carl kind of already talked about it, was kind of Joakim and Terrence Mann kind of showing out in their own respective ways, I feel like.
I think Terrence Mann's been hearing us.
I hope it's motivation.
I think it's motivation. I think he's ready. I think he's ready to really fit into the – I mean, there's a reason Doc brought him, and there's a reason he brought him here coffee. Like, they know – he knows what they can do, and he knows where they can fit. They probably won't play that many playoff minutes because their, you know, rotations, you know, slow down a little bit in the playoffs. But they're there if they need to be. I think these games are also showing us that Reggie Jackson is such a powerful asset.
God, he's so – he's great. Signing every day.
He's Reggie's
signing.
For real.
Like, it just gets better.
And I know that, you know, I like Pat Beverly's odds, guarding LeBron and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not opposed to Kawhi guarding him. I'm not opposed to George guarding him. They both guarded him very well in the past.
Yeah.
And, like, Reggie Jackson, you know, is better than all the guards that are playing for the Lakers right now.
Yeah.
So, that's not a complete L right there.
No, very fair.
The nice thing from Terrence Mann this game, just shooting in general, he shot the ball. He was assertive when he had the ball in his hands.
That was the thing that like impressed me the most, was just the confidence. Just every time we've seen him out there in NBA minutes kind of previous to this, you know, except for like the preseason and kind of some summer league stuff, he's just so tentative with the ball in his hands. He's really reluctant to shoot. We haven't really seen him be aggressive, like driving or anything. At least not to the degree that we saw this game. Yeah, he started out with like that baseline reverse.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, wow. All right. So it's going to be a Terrence Mann. Like, this is going to be a Terrence Mann coming out party. And I had been negging him more or less all week. So it was great to see.
Yeah. 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, which was cool. I also liked the 7 boards. Like, he was, he's a big dude for a guard. So it's nice that, like, all right, you should be getting rebounds at the guard position. And he did. And then Noah had the most Joakim Noah stat line that we're probably going to see in the playoffs. He had 1 point,
Made one out of four free throw attempts, which is a little troubling.
Yeah, but I mean, what are you going to do? 1 point, six boards. And then he also added five assists and five blocks. So, yeah, so like,
the this five is, assists to me is the most impressive.
Yeah, the I mean, that's
he led the team in assists.
That's a tangible thing we can see moving forward that is going to help this offense so much.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like the way it's looking. I was a little bit nervous when all these important people weren't around, but it just kind of shows us that this team is pretty damn deep, and I like that. People have been saying that all year. I have been buying into it, being like, yeah, I guess, yeah. But I was still, you know me. I'm a masochist when it comes to this team.
For sure.
I'm a sadist.
And then. Patrick Patterson shot 70%. The second unit, which is in this game, which is basically the third unit when everyone's healthy, saved us in this game. We were losing most of this game because it looked exactly like a scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, this is just what a scrimmage should be. You get some minutes for your top guys that are basically, honestly, more or less just conditioning minutes.
Yeah, Kawhi did not look like
it's not skills work. It's not skills work. You're not like really running a lot of deep sets with your main guys. You're just getting them a little bit of conditioning, and then you're getting some deeper rotation guys, some comfortability, and some chances to kind of work on both ends of the floor. And that's exactly what we got from this. I mean, Kawhi went 0 of 8 from 3. And, like, I could not be worried less about it because the whole thing was just like, dude, this was just like jogging for him. Like, it's not like he had skills work that he was really trying to get in on this game.
Yeah. One of the things I liked is that Jermichael only took threes and he made three of five of them. So, like, I think the scrimmages have been great for him. Like, it's just been nice. He's been looked sharper than the first one. Like, it was great to see. Just kind of the grittiness. I know it's just a scrimmage, but the fact that they still battled back to get the win, it's like, it was good to see.
I follow him on Insta, and his Instagram stories are like, or his just his the way he talks about the Clippers online. I like it a lot. I think he's really dedicated to being good.
Did you see?
He seems like such a nice guy.
He is a pretty nice dude. Did you see that? He always posts Wet Watch Wednesday, where he posts his nice watches getting water all over them because they're very nice and they drip, can bro. Take water.
Drip.
Which is funny.
Coffee continued to crush too.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Amir Coffee's having – he's starting to become a bubble darling.
Yeah. Definitely. I've been super impressed with his play thus far. I mean, I've loved pretty much all the minutes that we've gotten to see of Coffee thus far. But in these games – where he should try to be make an argument to, get some rotation minutes. Obviously, it's not going to be a key part of the rotation, but
yeah.
I think that argument has been pretty strong through these two scrimmage games.
Yeah, for sure.
Can we turn into Locked On Wizards for just 30 seconds?
Absolutely. Yes.
We got to check in on our baby boy.
Oh.
Rome. How did he do?
He was ready to kill us in the beginning. Yeah. He was truly in the beginning. I was like, please go for 40.
Yeah. he was crushing in the beginning.
I think he made two threes in the first quarter. And I was like, yes, pour it on. Get the gasoline. No, he ended up going 4 for 10.
Finished with 13, 2-2. I mean,
missed two of his free throws, which is classic Jerome.
But he looked good. He looked confident. I was happy to see it. I think that he needed a change of scenery. It wasn't going to happen for him here. There just wasn't really enough minutes to give him any sort of run. So
yeah,
I hope that he can continue to improve over there.
Yeah, me too.
I was watching a Washington Wizards stream of this game. They do not really talk about Jerome Robinson.
Really? Because their social media team has a lot of Jerome gifts, which I truly appreciated.
They also, though, showed a highlight of Ish Smith getting into passing lanes, and it was that clip of Jokic hitting him in the face with a no-look pass. And they were like, you see how he's just in the passing lane? Like, he doesn't just get that. And I was like, is this a joke? Like, he threw a no-look pass, and it hit him in the face. He wasn't even looking at the ball. No, it was.
You gotta take what you can get if you're the Wizards right now. Yeah, like be excited. Yeah. You know?
Also,
it's like if someone who has a shitty kid, like I mean, but he, you know,
he got a D.
He's really talented.
One of their announcers also sounds exactly like Howard Stern, which was really fucking with me, if I'm being totally honest. But no, it was kind of nice to play against the Wizards. The Wizards are a bigger team than I remembered. Like, Rui's a big dude, so I was happy that Kawhi got to guard Rui, who was going right at Kawhi.
Yeah.
That's good work for Kawhi.
Yeah. Also, I'd be pretty psyched if I was the Wizards if I had Rui.
We need to take Rui.
It doesn't seem like he's that good. Like
Rui and Rome for Jonathan Motley.
Who
says no?
That seems like a fair trade. You throw Bertans in, no problem.
all three of them. We get Rui, Bertans, and Jerome back all for Jonathan Motley. Who says no?
And cash
incentives.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts before we take this thing talking about the Kings matchup?
Oh, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, did either of you guys have any thoughts on that G League mess up where they tweeted out that Motley was headed to the bubble?
I think someone's getting reprimanded for that.
So can y'all explain that to me? Because I'm not on Twitter right now. So
yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
So like the G League was just tweeting out players who were like in the bubble. Like they were like, oh, Chris Clemens, who I actually think is on our roster, headed to the NBA bubble. And they tweeted one of Jonathan Motley. And it was like kind of right, like I think it was right before all the Lou Will stuff. And everyone was like, oh, what? Like, is Trez not coming back?
Like, we still didn't have any Zoo information at the time either. So people were speculating like, oh, okay, well, I guess Zoo's not coming back.
We're totally screwed or whatever. But apparently it was just an error. Because like the Clippers like technically can't even have Motley on the team.
No, they can't.
For the bubble. So
you had to finalize your roster. And then I think you can, if someone gets injured or something, maybe you can swap a guy out. That's my understanding. But they couldn't have just brought him.
So someone fucked up.
Did you say Chris Clemens was on our roster?
No, I think he's on the Rockets.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, I thought he played for the Rockets.
But I would love it if Chris Clemens was on our roster. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the final scrimmage against the Kings.
Okay, so we're back with some more scrimmage talk. And the Clippers have their final scrimmage once again with big boy quarters. That's what we call 12-minute quarters in scrimmage time. Is there anything you guys are looking for or want to see in this matchup against the Kings?
The complete opposite offensively from Kawhi would be tight. Even if we got the same shooting, I wouldn't be that worried, but it would just be nice to see Kawhi just for like 5 minutes, maybe just be like, okay, this is a real game now. And then maybe cool it off.
Yeah. I guess
that's me being selfish though.
When Kawhi hit the ground, it was in the second corner of the quarter of the first of that last scrimmage. I was like, "Let's just pull him out, man! Like,
take him out.
Why are we even bothering with this?
Put in the second coming of Kawhi, Amir Coffey."
I don't know. I'm not too worried about this one. I think I'd like to see more of the last. If we could get to see some more aggressive Terrence Mann, maybe him even taking some minutes defending. Solid guards. Like, even if he could take a couple minutes defending, like De'Aaron Fox, which I don't know that he's up for that.
Is Buddy playing?
No.
I don't
okay.
know.
He's nobody. Nobody. No Bagley.
Man, the Kings are.
Hey. Yes. Nobody. No Bagley. Sounds like a saying.
No.
You know what they say? Nobody. No Bagley.
It sounds like a drug dealer saying.
Yeah.
like, what's a Bagley?
You got my buddy for me? Because you know, no buddy, no Bagley. Like Donald Trump's, like Donald Trump Bigley.
Yeah. Bigley. Yeah. Bagley.
No buddy, no Bagley.
I want to see that. No, I kind of want to see, Doc get a tech just so we know Doc is in true ready to go mode. That would be nice to see.
I'm so glad the Clippers haven't been one of the loser ass teams that's done a coach's challenge in a scrimmage.
Oh, that's going to happen. Doc is definitely going to do a coach's challenge after he gets a tech to spite the referees with 2 minutes left.
And challenge the tech.
Yeah, he's going to challenge the tech. Defensively, I think I mean, so Magruder played well in that last game. We kind of overlooked Magruder a little bit.
He's looked really good in both of the scrimmages thus far.
Yeah, he shot 50% from three and from the field and made all his free throws. So it's like, dude, if you're going to do that as well as kind of those other, you know, dirty work plays, peak Rodney Magruder right there.
He's trying to get his minutes. And I feel confident putting in Rodney in a couple of playoff games, you know, at the end of quarters, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he can kind of keep this momentum going and just show overall, you know, this kind of plus competence he's been, that'd be a great sign. I think the 4-month break was great for him, for sure.
Yeah, his defense looks a little bit closer to what we were promised, you know, when he came to the team. Mm-hmm. I just think that I don't think that he's been fully healthy since he's been on the Clippers roster until
he got
now.
Hurt preseason. Like,
he got hurt. Yeah. Yeah, he came to the team hurt. He got injured in game. Yeah, I think that he's just like finally back at full strength, and I think that he's got his confidence back because of that.
Another thing I'd like to see, just more Jermichael Green shooting well. Yeah. Not too well, because I don't. And same with Patterson. Like, maybe don't shoot 70%. Like, leave a little bit in the tank for when we get to the games and whatnot. But I don't know. What do you guys not want to see from this game?
I don't want to see Paul George and Kawhi play.
Oh, okay. At all?
Nah. And I'm fine taking the L too. But keep them out, man. Keep them out. I'm treating them like glass, and I shouldn't do that. But like, I don't necessarily want to see it. I would love to see. Let's get these role guys like big minutes. I want 30 from Jermichael.
Oof! I would love that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like a lot.
Too many points. It's too many.
Too many points. I won't be able to count them.
Yeah, I want 27-6 from Jermichael. Well, Jermichael plays the three, right?
Or the three, or the four, or the five. Jermichael can play everywhere, man.
Who's our two? I want to see Rodney Magruder go off for 40.
How many points are we scoring in this game?
230. I want to see Terrence Mann go off for 61.
How many minutes is he playing? What do we want to see from Mann after such a nice performance?
Keep it up. I just want to see him keep it up. I want to see that same aggression. I want to see that same fight that, you know, I think I've talked about this on this podcast before, but like, I remember when Shea, like halfway through that first season, kind of came into his own and was like going at guys. He crossed up Chris Paul something terrible one of those games. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Terrence Mann, I thought it was going to be the same thing. He just didn't pan out to be that way. But if he can keep this aggression up, keep this, I want to see it. And I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to have him there.
I want to see him keep taking the shots, even if the efficiency isn't there like it was last game. Even if he's only like 25% from the floor, I just want to see him continue to take the shots with confidence.
Yeah.
Another thing that I want to see more of is, dude, we haven't talked about him so far on this podcast, but Morris has looked a lot better through these first two scrimmages. I've been impressed. We talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it a little bit before, but just his conditioning, like, despite having fewer practices than other guys that are in the bubble, his conditioning looks good. He seems like he's kind of fallen into his role better now than he had been those, you know, like those 10 or 12 games or whatever it was that he ended up playing before the season was halted.
Yeah, he probably had a loop of Doc just telling him the plan, playing over and over during the 4-month thing. I think I'd like to see the same kind of Morris we got last game. He took 9 shots, which is like, great. Like, let's kind of keep it around there. I mean, for games in which we maybe don't necessarily need him so much. Like,
Worried are you guys about him leaving? Because he's most likely going to be leaving the bubble for a period of time for the birth of his son around September.
Well, I wasn't that worried about it because I didn't know it was gonna happen.
Who is this again?
Marcus Morris.
Oh,
Will,
that's plenty of good hospitals in Orlando.
Fly her out,
have a bubble baby.
There's hospitals probably in the bubble. It's an NBA campus, they can't
Marcus
deliver.
Morris.
I mean, you should go do that, but
yeah, you should go do it, but don't do it.
No, I guess I'm going to put on a brave face and say that I'm only 7.5 out of 10 worried about that now. I guess it gives me something new to worry
about. In September, ain't that when the playoffs start?
Yes.
Come on, man. Marcus Morris.
Well, I think we're gonna get over that hurdle just as the Clippers have gotten over every hurdle that is presented.
I just wonder how deep in September it's gonna be. That's my only question. Is it the first week of September? Fine, do your thing. Go for it. Is it the last week of September? Yeah, I already have one kid. I mean, isn't that enough?
Oh, no. Man, he's gonna have to quarantine. God damn.
Man. God damn.
Come on, man. Somebody induced labor today.
Today?
Yeah.
Just eat a bunch of spicy food. Figure it out.
Shit that baby out, lady.
First week of September will be good. That's when it's going to happen. Let's just put that date in our minds right now. A positive note to end the podcast on before Will tried to derail us with these possibilities is that Shamet is officially in the bubble.
That's right.
Landry Shamet made it. He posted a video of him in the bubble with the caption that said, "Bubble."
Very Landry Shamet.
Like, he's the most
here.
Yeah. Yeah. It is your birthday.
Knowing Shamet's ass, he probably brought his girl with him. He's like, got my girl in the bubble. Nobody said anything otherwise. Like, Shamet. Damn it, Shamet.
He brought his girl, he brought his tailor. He's like, what? This is how I'm an NBA player. I'm accustomed to a certain lifestyle. I don't know what you expect me to do. Do we have any final thoughts about the Clippers before we end this Monday episode?
Hey, man. Stay ahead of the game, y'all. Listen, y'all playing great without a lot of very important key players. I really appreciate you. I love you. I love you guys. Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite you, Clippers. Reggie Jackson, shout out to you, man. Shout out to Jerome Robinson. Shout out to Blake Griffin. Shout out to Danny Manning.
Well said from Dr. Tart. I think the Clippers are going to really appreciate that. No, I'm excited. It feels like everyone's kind of coming together-ish, you know. We're only missing Bev. Trez is theoretically on the way at some point soon.
We're only missing, you know, Bev, Trez, Lou.
Yeah, what do you want us to do, man?
The glue of the team.
The glue of the team.
The three players that we all fell in love with in the playoffs last year.
But you know what? It's only scrimmages.
Also, it's like three dudes, though, who probably, let's be honest, maybe need the practice a little bit less than some of the other folks on the roster.
That's fair. Very fair on that. Carl, we thank you very much for being with us. We always appreciate your insight.
Always a pleasure.
Remember, nobody, no Bagley.
Nobody, no Bagley, y'all.
Matt George, if you're listening, host of Locked On Kings, please use that. Tuesday's episode, we're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday. So send us your questions at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We're going to be recapping that King scrimmage, which no doubt will be scintillating. And then, of course, whatever else happens now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fantastic people find us?
Check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating or review. Thanks to the folks who have recently. We super appreciate it. Also, you can check us out on Spotify. We are on Deezer, where you can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at Locked On Clips.
Hell yeah. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.